Welcome to Keeping Your Together in a Stressed World with Michelle Post and Scott Grossberg. Each week, we explore down and dirty ways to stop awfulizing, catastrophizing, going down the rabbit hole, and moving through all the craziness that is happening right now. We're here to create a community of like-minded people as we give you tips, tricks, and techniques for keeping sane in an unhinged world. And now, here are your hosts, Michelle Post and Scott Grossberg.
Hey, everybody. This is Scott Grossberg, one of your co-hosts for the podcast, Keeping Your Shit Together in a Stressed World. And I'm here with my long distance, really long distance today, co-host Michelle Post. Hello, Michelle.
Hello, Scott. Hi, everybody.
First, let's get out of the way. Happy birthday. We're doing the show after your birthday, but happy birthday. And because you are a world traveler, where are you calling in from today?
Well, today I'm calling in from the Canary Islands of Spain, which is sort of appropriate because it's one of the places in Spain where people live the longest. And we are talking about blue zones today.
We are. So let's put some perspective to this real quickly, because it does tie in with the blue zone, and we'll talk about stress reduction, et cetera, because that has a lot to do with blue zones as well. Tell everybody where you've been traveling to, if you don't mind.
Oh, okay. So there was an international heart and lung transplant conference in Prague, and my partner Brian and his company had some research that was being presented there. And so we were able to travel together to Prague, which is where I spent my birthday. And leading up to it, we went to Paris, a place that I have always wanted to go, and spent 3 months trying to learn a little bit of conversational French. And I'm partway there, but I did fine. Paris was lovely.
Did you fall in love with it like I did?
I did. I fell in love with Paris and I fell in love with Prague Czech Republic. And I spent the morning of my birthday, which was Friday. I got up at the crack of, before dawn, and took public transportation. It's one of the things that I loved about both Paris and Prague is the incredible public transportation. I took public transportation to the world famous Charles Bridge, and I watched the sunrise while on the Charles Bridge of Prague the morning of my birthday. It was just me and the other photographers, and got some beautiful photos, and stopped at the John Lennon wall and some outdoor art exhibits, and went to a wonderful little bakery for my breakfast, and brought some things to Brian at his conference. And It was an awesome, awesome time. And at his conference, one of the most amazing topics was, how do you continue making organ transplant happen in the middle of war? They had a guest speaker from a transplant center in Kiev and talked about what they've been going through in Kiev, in the Ukraine, trying to continue to transplant people in the middle of a war zone. It was amazing stuff.
I remember talking, actually, an astronaut friend of mine, Story Musgrave, was a combat surgeon. And I remember talking to him and him talking about how he would keep people alive in the field. And war presents a whole nother set of problems. But as he put it, he could save anybody's life. The problem was how he patched them up in the field.
Wow.
There were consequences after the fact. And he readily admitted it, but he kept them alive. So speaking of living better, I know that's a really odd segue. You and I have been talking for a while about this topic. Some of it because of where I live, some of it because of the studies that you have done. And we're going to talk about blue zones and living better. And in fact, with blue zones, and we'll discuss what they are in a moment, but, blue zones are not this wonderful little metaphorical made up thing. These are verifiable scientific studies. Mm-hmm. And so I know you've studied it a lot. Interestingly enough, because of where I live, it's very funny. We are kind of where I live, although not in one of the cities, and I will explain it in a minute. We are literally considered part of that because of the particular demographic that's involved. And I'll get into that in a minute, too. But I thought I would mention, because a lot of people may not have ever even heard of what a blue zone is.
Right.
And from my studies, and feel free to jump in here, that bottom line, this all dates back to a Danish study that was done, at least the one that I found, where it was based, or pardon me, it discovered or unveiled the concept that the average person's life is actually not as much dictated by genes as it actually is dictated by lifestyle and environment.
Mm-hmm.
And so that then led to this blue zone description. And there, at least the study that I looked at, they identified five pockets or five areas where people were living verifiably, there's the big one, verifiably longer lives based on all the measurements that they brought in. And we're talking now about Ikaria, Greece.
Yes.
Loma Linda, California.
Mm-hmm.
Nicoya, Costa Rica.
Mm-hmm.
Okinawa, Japan. And Sardinia, Italy.
Yes.
Does that line up with what you've studied?
Absolutely. And it's that a larger percentage of centenarians, people who live 100 years or more, can be found in these five areas of the world. And so they began to study, why are people in these five areas of the world living particularly longer than anywhere else in the world?
So again, I find it fascinating, particularly the Loma Linda, California one, because I am I'm part of that. And it's very interesting the reason that Loma Linda, among in particular, is considered a blue zone. And it's number one, diet, and the low consumption of tobacco and alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's just talk about it, right? Loma Linda and where I am, very high concentration of Seventh-day Adventists.
Yes.
And that lifestyle that comes with the Seventh-day Adventist belief system, their worldview, is directly attributed. It's not their religious belief, it's their lifestyle practice.
Right. Except that the other four, so what's interesting is when you look at what do they all have in common, so the other four areas that we mentioned, aside from Loma Linda, all drink alcohol as a regular part of their life, but they do it in moderation.
Yeah.
So they may have one or two glasses of red wine per day, which, I think that the research about whether that presents heart disease has actually been debunked, but it is a commonality in the blue zones.
And we've talked about this. We've talked about this before. I actually never consumed alcohol. I didn't. Maybe periodically I'd have a social margarita. I was not into alcohol at all until my doctor wanted me to adjust lifestyle, and in fact, under doctor's orders, prescribed for me a glass of red wine a night. One glass, again, moderation. So I drink under doctor's orders, and and as I did my research back when all of this was taking place, I found it was the resveratrol contained within the red wine, and of course, Scott being Scott, found that Pinot Noir had the lowest calories. So it was actually, and I've got to tell you that I believe it's actually doing its thing. Now, I've been drinking a glass of red wine for a long time, and it, it's it's very interesting. I agree with you, by the way, that some of the research I've done on blue zones, they do consume alcohol. And there's even more than that, though. There's the societal cohesion. There's the community caring. That caregiving is a huge part of this. So I'm curious, what is it that you have found in studying blue zones? Because we obviously want to leave our listeners, and I've got some kind of a checklist of things that people can do before we end the show today.
Right. Well, so just to give you some of the data, I think it's kind of interesting. It's Sardinia, Italy, which is home to the world's longest living men. Okinawa, Japan is the world's longest living women. In Loma Linda, the average Seventh-day Adventist community member outlives the average American by a decade.
Yeah.
So that's how they ended up in there. In Ikaria, Greece, it's a tiny island community where they have significantly reduced rates of chronic illness. And it's in Nicoya, Costa Rica, where people are more than twice as likely as Americans to reach 90 years of age. So
now, I've got to tell you that one of my neighbors who is the demographic for the blue zone. She's 87 years old, I believe, 87 or 88. She just had a birthday. And this woman goes out and walks every day. She goes to the gym every day. She is very socially active in her church. She has people over to the house. She lives by herself, by the way. Now, she's got our number in case of emergency because she's 86, 87 years old. And she is constantly in that caregiving community mindset. Matter of fact, for Christmas, she texted my wife and she said, "Do you mind if I bring some people over to the house to sing for you?"
Aww.
And I have not had the little Christmas carols in a long time. I remember them as kids, and they were all these kids from the church and some foreign exchange students that this 86, 87, 88 year old lady is sponsoring. I couldn't tell you what country they were from, but they're on their mission, right? So she's sponsoring them. And she marched them over to the house and they stood in front and she's, behind them, but they're all singing these Christmas carols to us. And then they handed us a plate full of cookies that our neighbor had handmade. This is how active she is.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. But what's interesting is in the data, what they were saying in the data is that people in the blue zones naturally move their body. It's not that they're doing intense workouts or running marathons, but they have a lifestyle that is naturally incorporating movement. So for instance, in the Japanese culture, they were almost all of them had a garden. And so they were getting up and down from the floor and also eat on the floor, right? And socialize on the floor, sitting. So getting up and down from a seated position on the floor on a regular basis. Like, I don't know about you, Scott, but how many times do you purposely sit on the floor and get up from sitting on the floor every day?
I do it every day, but it's not pretty.
Me either. It's not pretty at all. But that was something that I found interesting about the Japanese culture is just that, you do have a garden. I have a garden. So by going out and weeding and trimming and taking care of your plants and just naturally moving around your garden and what it takes to have a garden incorporates movement. And so many of us in our modern society, we have jobs, mine included, that is tied to a desk.
It's sedentary.
Not involve movement.
So it's interesting that you say that because, all kidding aside, I go back to our one word. One of my big word for this year is healing. Stupid Scott, right? Because you can't heal unless there's something to heal. And this movement that you're talking about is, I have discovered something called ELDOA. I don't know if anybody else knows what this is. It's ELDOA, and it's natural spine decompression through various stretches. And I don't need to go into the details. You can go look it up, ELDOA. And it's very passive, gentle stretching for some prolonged periods of time that decompress your spine. Well, in order to do that, you have to sit on the ground, and then you got to get back up off the ground because you're using the natural gravity in it. And that fits right in with this blue zone concept that you're talking about.
Yeah. Boy, you know, I am inspired to send a text message to Brian right now about ELDOA. Yes. Wow.
It's pretty, it's a fascinating concept, but again, not rigorous exercise. It's movement though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it ain't
natural
pretty.
Movement.
It ain't pretty.
Uh-huh. And typically for Blue Zone Centurions, their physical activity continues long into their 80s and their 90s. Like, they are walkers. They move. They don't drive everywhere. They're not as dependent on some kind of moved vehicle. So that's an important part of their physical movement. And you mentioned community support, right? Your neighbor that brought over the cookies with the community. That is a common characteristic in the Blue Zones, that there's a strong emphasis on social connections and community, emotional support, and how that reduces stress, and talking to friends on the street, having casual conversations, making time to put your family first, even if it's a biological versus a chosen family, having your friends be part of that social family and putting them first above other things. That's a big thing that I saw in my research. I don't know if you noticed that as well, that came out.
Yeah, well, you know, and maybe this is a good time. I was going to save it for the end, but in light of the fact of what you're going over, maybe this is a good time, if you don't mind, for me to kind of give a little checklist. Now, it's not mine, by the way. This is from the author of the book, The Blue Zones, Lessons for Living Longer, from the people who've lived the longest, from an author by the name of Dan Buettner. I believe I'm pronouncing that right. I could be wrong. But they identified lifestyle and environmental factors that they appropriately called the Power Nine. And if you don't mind, let's just go over them right now. Mm-hmm. Number one ties right in with what you're talking about. It's move naturally. And this is creating an environment that encourages you to move, right? Don't think about it. You got to do it. You got to be out doing the mobility stuff. Again, you don't have to go to the gym. Wonderful if you could. You don't have to do 10,000 steps a day, although I know that people have talked about it. And in fact, if you go and look that up, folks, that may not even be necessary, depending on where you are and the goals, the health goals that you have. But, you know, I
good marker, though.
I walk all the time. And I'm unfortunately very sedentary in doing some of the creative work that I do. And depending on the weather, depending on what's going on, you know, I'm walking anywhere between 1 to 2.5 miles a day, outside of everything else. And it's not a speed test. And I want to emphasize that. It's for me a very walking meditation. It's a very mindful movement of putting one foot down, noticing how the earth supports you, noticing the world around me, the nature, the squirrels, the frickin' doves that like to poop everywhere. They're wonderful to watch, but oh my goodness. You know, and you'd be surprised if you start moving naturally, even if it's just yoga. I recently was told about yin yoga, which I had frankly never heard about before. And yin yoga is holding a position for like 5 minutes.
Oh,
and constantly, so you're still moving, you're still doing your yoga, but you're holding it. And then, as it was described for me and explained, as you're holding the pose, you're doing a body check-in. Where am I tense? And then you're relaxing while in the pose. It's a very interesting approach to movement. Number two is called purpose. What is your sense of purpose? What's your reason for waking up in the morning? And I've talked about this before, right? You know, what before you go to bed, are you actually taking three people and wishing them that find the source, the root of all happiness? When you wake up in the morning, and I do, this is a practice that I have. I wake up in the morning and I find five things to be grateful for. That's my practice. Every morning, I'm grateful for this. Thank you for that. I'm lucky to have this. I'm blessed to have that. Whatever works for you, my magic number is five. And, you know, I think that all the blue zone areas have that in common too, the concept of gratefulness. And by the way, when I'm talking about purpose, we're not talking about going to work. We're not talking about making money. Why should you care? You know, what is it that maybe we can do a whole show on finding your purpose, kind of the whole theme of keeping your shit together. But purpose is a big deal in blue zones. And the beauty of, by the way, the power of nine that I'm sharing with you is that you can create your own blue zone anywhere you live.
Right.
Notwithstanding the fact that some areas, I think I was reading while I was researching for our show today, you know, there's some places in Kentucky that the life expectancy is dramatically less than everywhere else because it's so hard to eat in a healthy way.
Yeah.
So you may have to be more purposeful and intentional and attentive to what you're doing. So purpose. Number three, downshift. Now,
means a lot more to me now that I'm driving a stick shift this week.
By the way, but just as a quick aside, I saw a funny joke the other day. A guaranteed way to keep your car from being stolen is drive a stick shift.
Oh, I heard that too. Isn't that amazing? I think maybe my next car will be a stick shift. My dad always wanted me to learn how to drive a stick shift so that if I was ever stuck somewhere, you know, everybody can drive an automatic car, but if you're stuck and the only car is a stick shift, what are you going
to
do?
I learned on a stick shift as well. As a matter of fact, to this day, it was so grilled into me. To this day, if there's a sudden stop or I've got to do a sudden movement in the car, my hand instinctively goes down to where the stick shift would be. And my feet start to do the whole. Left. Yeah.
Clutch.
So
took
anyway,
me a long time for my foot to stop going for. So, but downshifting for people that don't understand shifting is where you shift into a lower gear, and the car engine itself can't go very fast, so it slows itself down without hitting the brakes.
Now,
that's what it means by downshift.
Here's a beautiful way to do stacking with this.
Yeah,
and that's if you go and walk, or you do mindful moving. Right. It's a little different if you put on your health app, your running app. I've got one. And you're timing yourself. It's a competition. How fast can you go around the block? Mm-hmm. That's far different than a very mindful approach to walking, where every step and every breath in, it's forcing you to downshift automatically. Right. So you can move and downshift at the same time.
Yes. Or like when I was in Prague, they have lilac bushes everywhere and they are fully in bloom. So you smell the wafts of lilac in the air. And I could, if I got close enough as I was walking to a lilac bush, I would stop and smell, instead of stop and smell the roses, I would stop and smell the lilacs. And that saying, stop and smell the roses, is there for a reason. It is downshifting while you're moving through the world. Stop and smell something beautiful, stop and take in a gorgeous scenery and take a picture of it or something.
Yeah.
That is downshifting.
So straight out of Okinawa comes rule number four, and that's the 80% rule. And that means only eat until your stomach is 80% full, right? A lot of us Americans in particular, everything on your plate, we eat until we're stuffed, and you don't realize if you stop eating, your stomach catches up and you're not as hungry as you think you actually are.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's a good rule of thumb for all kinds of health.
Yeah. Well,
the downshift thing is, in my research, it was prioritizing stress relief. Is that what your research was? Just to clarify, I don't mean to go backwards too much. Or is that a separate one?
It's actually, I think all this power of nine is encompassed in what you're talking about, because all of this is stress and anxiety alleviation. Looking at the power of nine, there's no specific rule about that. Okay. I think all of it is in there. Item number five is plant-based food.
Mm-hmm.
We at least here, again, I'm living in essentially a blue zone area. We have plant-based restaurants specifically designed for that. And at the very least, you can add more beans. And again, depending, I know there are people out there that love their hamburgers, they love their steak. Moderation and everything. Add a little bit more to this.
Mm-hmm. It could be just increase the amount of vegetables that you put on your plate at each meal, or try eating a plant-based meal once a week. Like, that's a step in the right direction.
Yep, absolutely. Green is good for you, unless you're on the medication that won't let you eat your greens. Number six, we talked about wine, but more specifically, it's wine at dinner time. Wine at 5 o'clock is what they're talking about, and drinking moderately and regularly. Now, I know that some of these studies actually talk about more than what I'm doing. So when I drink wine, it's literally three fingers. That's how I measure it. It's three fingers of Pinot Noir, and that's it. I'm not overindulging. I'm drinking it for the resveratrol, and it's consistent. Please bear in mind, if check with your doctor, if you're on medication, you don't want to mix alcohol and some of these medications that you're on. I do want to, and it's not in the power of nine, I do want to let you know that our neighbor takes a lot of very interesting supplements. And she's constantly telling me about them. Some of them I've tried, and I got to tell you, this one, and I won't even mention the product because it doesn't matter. But this one product she mentioned as giving her more, she was traveling around the world. One of her kids lives in Guam, of all places. Mm-hmm. I think it was Guam. And she's traveling. Remember, she's 86, 87, traveling on her own. And she was telling us, I have more energy than I've ever had before. And she gave me some of these supplements. And it was like, oh, my God, I think these are uppers. I really... but anyway, just whatever you're consuming, check with your doctor, make sure that it works with what you're doing. Number and seven,
With alcohol, I don't think any of the research says if you currently don't drink alcohol that you should start. Okay. The Loma Linda Blue Zone, no one drinks alcohol within the Seventh-day Adventist, and they are living really long. It's just that if you do drink, it needs to be in moderation if you're worried about your longevity.
Or again, in my case, I actually had my family practitioner say, Scott, I want you to get, some of these numbers down. Mm-hmm. Go drink red wine. If you don't want to drink red wine, there are stores that just sell resveratrol pills.
Yes.
So you can, eliminate the alcohol entirely. Number seven, they call it Right Tribe, but really this is getting your community and your supportive social circle together.
Yes.
Right. And I know a lot of us, particularly coming out of COVID, I joked about it. I was born for COVID. Leave me alone. Let me be in my cave. Let me isolate, et cetera. And then when COVID was over, gradually, I missed being out in the world. I realized that. I missed my poker parties that I would throw at the house all the time. I've had a poker party with some of my dearest friends. For over 20 years now.
Mm-hmm.
That's how long this poker game has been. And I missed that. Zoom is not a replacement. Mm-hmm. It's kind of okay, but it's just not the same. So
but if you find live your around tribe, the world from someone, okay? You know, well, if you live around again, the world from someone, Zoom.
Well, exactly. So, you know,
in person, go.
I got to tell you, we have a mastermind that I have every Tuesday morning. It's international, got people from everywhere. And this, they've become family. We've yeah. been meeting now for, I think, 3 years, almost, wow. actually over 3 years. And, you know, some of these people, it's like when they're not there, you miss them. So even that's tribe, even that's community. Right. You can go out and do it. I know, again, in the areas that I live in, there are senior centers for those of you who might be isolated. And so go out and do that. Push yourself out of your comfort zone. Mm-hmm. Number eight, again, it's kind of like right tribe, but this is now community. And I know a lot of the people that listen to us are spiritual. They don't consider themselves religious. But again, Loma Linda, very predominant Seventh-day Adventist, heavy church community and heavy church family. So for those of you that are faith-based, the service, irrespective of or notwithstanding the church theme and the religious overlay to this, that church family has a lot to do with the longevity, according to the metrics.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And it could be a gardening club, or it could be a walking club, because not everybody in the metrics has a specific spiritual practice. But this idea that you have community, you're volunteering within your community, you have a group that you consider your tribe, that you spend time with and you're present with them, is a big part of living a long, healthy life.
Absolutely. And then finally, the last of the power nine is your loved ones. Mm-hmm. And this is spending time with your deep, the family you choose, by the way, mm-hmm. right? The family you choose and the friends who have become family, and intentionally loving them first. Mm-hmm. Again, it not to be morbid and not to end the show on any downer, but things happen in the blink of an eye.
Yes, they do.
You know, last night we were just informed that a friend, let's just call them that, not the kind of family by marriage, but a friend's wife, this is they have four kids, by the way. I was killed in a head-on traffic accident last night.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, Scott.
And
oh, no.
When you realize,
yeah.
I'm trying to think of how old she was. I think early 30s. Can you imagine how quickly this happens?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Nobody, I know we joke, nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition. You're right. You need to invest in this.
Right.
Before it's too late.
Right.
And that's the one thing, again, I've watched our next door neighbor. She likes to joke with us that her grandchildren, mm-hmm. her grandchildren have children. And mm-hmm. I can't even begin to tell you. And I don't know the exact number, but it's like she got 27 grandkids.
Wow.
You know, and I'm trying to figure out, how the hell do you do Christmas? How do you do birthdays? And yet she does. They come over. She actually tells us, she says, I'm going to have all the kids over. If you hear things or balls fly over the wall or frisbees fly over the wall, it's from us.
You'll
and she gives
why.
Us, and the kids are very polite, but she invests herself in them so deeply. You know, she'll come over here and she'll just visit with us. And I think this is very important just as a general rule, and forget the Blue Zone stuff. Are you investing in why it really matters? And, you know, when I work with people and they tell me that if they just had more money, right, life would be wonderful. And so I turn around and ask them, what would more money, why do you work? What would more money do for you? Why are you working? And when you dig down and you realize they're working for their family, they're working to support what's really important to them, and then they don't spend any time on it.
Right. Right. It's not just the family. It's actually enjoying them, putting your tablets down and your devices down and being present with those that you love. And when I work with people, the dying population, people who are dying, I don't hear, I should have made more money. I should have bought a boat. I should have bought a house. I should have, you know, who's going to take care of my stuff? I don't hear that. I hear, will you remember me? And will you remember me fondly?
Yeah.
Will somebody remember me? And will somebody remember me fondly when they think of me? Those are the things that matter to people at the end of their life. So live as if people, you know, not just the people you care about think of you fondly, but the people you interact with at the grocery store or at the gas station or with the post. Will people have a bad impression of you? A negative, they snapped at me, they belittled me. Not everybody's at your same level of intelligence and competence and et cetera, et cetera. And can you treat people with respect?
Well, you know, this is why I wrote the book, The Unfinished Book. It was it's a journal designed to help people start focusing on what's really freaking important. Mm-hmm. And so as we come to the end of the show, I do want to point out, as Michelle and I have been talking, did you notice that we haven't been talking about diets? We haven't been talking about quick fixes. We have not been talking about mm-hmm. medication. It comes down to your choice of the environment that you're in and your lifestyle. And you get to choose that.
Right.
So I think a good way to end the show, at least for me, is to just remind you to choose wisely. Mm-hmm. Choose life and choose wisely how you experience that life every single day.
I like it. So may you live longer, healthier, more satisfying lives.
Yeah, so
hopefully you get inspired to incorporate a few little things today.
So let me do the Spock thing to everybody. Live long and prosper.
Perfect.
Perfect. All right. Next week, we are going to talk to you about the relationship between stress and your gut. Going to be mm-hmm. a very interesting show. And anything you want to end on, Michelle?
I think we've covered it.
All right.
And we'll go deeper next week.
We'll go deeper next week. All right. Again, please remember to like, subscribe, add us, promote us, share us on your favorite podcast platform so that we may continue to grow and continue to see that we're bringing value to everybody's life. And with that, live long and prosper. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You've reached the end of another episode of Keeping Your Together in a Stressed World with Michelle Post and Scott Grossberg. If you like our show, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate our broadcast, and leave a review. The podcast is for general information only and not intended to be legal or mental health advice, nor the formation of a lawyer-client, nor therapist-patient relationship. Stay tuned for our next episode, and thank you for listening.